Okay, good Sunday, and we're down to the fighting few, but they made it here to get us on the internet, so that's good. And we've got a handout, so we're in good shape that way. Kit got those for us, so we got those going, and so we're in good shape about those. Let's begin with the word of prayer, and then just go into our study. Let's go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God, for the word of God, for the opportunity we have to come together to study your word. Each day, Heavenly Father, is so important in our spiritual life, our relationship with you, your Son, your Spirit. Your word. Pray, Father, you'll be with us this morning. We study your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's first of all deal with any question or any statements to be made for anybody. Have we heard how Chris Daigle's father's doing?
Yes.
He did.
And I think, and Chris was there, I think, before, it happened before he flew back home.
Oh, good.
So he was with him, yeah.
Good. When did that happen?
It was Wednesday at 1, or Thursday at 1:30 in the morning.
Thursday morning, around 1 or 2 in the morning. And Chris was there with him.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Mm. How's his mother doing?
I haven't had a chance to talk to him because of Slan. He came home and I'm not sure. So they're at camp, but I heard camp is going really well. So.
Okay. All right. That just started, though, this morning.
What camp?
Camp.
Friday
morning. Okay.
They wrap it up today. Yeah.
All right. How are they doing?
Sounds like it's going pretty well.
Good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's, any other thing about anything? Yes.
Not a prayer. I just, Thanksgiving, and this weekend is 10 years ago when Thomas's journey began.
Wow.
It just hits me. It was like, wow, March 19th. It's been 10 years, people. God is good. And I'm just so thankful.
That was 10 years ago. Oh my goodness.
I know. Here, sometimes I just get this little going through the motions of what, as the steps happened, oh my God, today's the day we got the call to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Today's the day he's receiving blood and platelets. We didn't know what we were.
Wow.
So just thank you, everybody, and
10 years.
That was a wonderful day that we all went to the hospital met out in the front there in the hospital. That was cool.
Well, and it's the weekend 10 years ago that I really got to learn how to walk by faith. Realized then God, what God was putting us through, and knew that we could make it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it was my faith walk.
Wow. Beautiful. A lot of times people don't have that understanding until something happens.
Until you got to trust God.
And they learn about faith. Yeah.
Well, we knew it. We just didn't know how to apply it.
That's very good. Very good. Okay, any other? Yes.
So I have a girlfriend that lives in California. She's a real good friend. We've been friends about 30 years. Her mother lives in St. Louis, Missouri, and she's in a retirement home. She's been there for about the last 5 years. My friend goes out to visit her every year. Well, they put a stop to that with the COVID, so she hasn't been able to see her in person and make the trip out there, and she's now on hospice. So just prayers for comfort.
So she's alone.
Her mother's in hospice now?
Yes. Aww. She's 98, though, mind you, and she's lived a good life. So.
Well, all right. Well, we'll be in prayer that God will, is she a believer, I'm sure?
Yes.
Yeah. That God will call her home and move on in that. That'd be very good.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Be in prayer for my own wife. She just is one battle almost every day. And, of course, we were going to go to church just together this morning. And all planned. But she didn't get any sleep around 2 o'clock, she fell asleep for about an hour and a half, and then woke up. And that was that one. And she's got interesting that she got in the mail. And she put something up here and turned it on, and it's supposed to do something with the part of the brain of the body, and it's active anyway. Whether or not it's doing it, I don't know. We'll know in a couple of days. But let's please be in prayer for Judith at this time. Okay. Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. I thought I had gotten a little sun, but I looked back here.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of sun.
Yes, I did.
We love to get sun here. We love it. Wow. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and move into our study. And today is going to be good because we should be able to get this entire lesson in. And I've already got going the next week on this forgiveness. And then we're going to do a special for our Resurrection Sunday. And then we'll be back to this study. So that's kind of the momentum we're going to be going in the last couple of months, last couple of weeks. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so dependent upon your Spirit to open our eyes, to cause us to hear and to understand the things that you have us to see and have us to understand. Right now, Father, we're looking at forgiveness. How vital is understanding the vital of the forgiveness of our sins. We pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, we're looking at the introduction to forgiveness. Now, the two issues that separate mankind from God are sins and the absence of God's perfect righteousness. So if you take all members of the human race, we've got two issues. One is the issue of sins, which we all have. And secondly, the absence of the God's perfect righteousness, which we do not have. Now, one of the most important needs we have is the removal of sins. The absolute need of forgiveness of sins. It is the issue of the presence of sins and the absence of perfect righteousness that is the great issue here. Here we learn the wonder of our God. He takes care of both our needs, both these needs. Removal of personal sins is resolved by the cross work of Christ on the cross. Forgiveness of our sins is so important to the grace of God. Now, let's just get ourselves oriented to where we are. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him, that is in God the Father, we, born-again believers, have redemption through His blood. And we've studied all of this. Now we're at the next phrase. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Now, so much is given to us in this verse. We've already spent a great deal of time. We still have some time to cover on it. Now, we're dealing with Jesus Christ, the death of His spiritual death, to provide the forgiveness of sins. We need it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Now, the pouring out, you recall, talks about his death on the cross, not physical blood. Now, we add to that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, "Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Now, I want to go into two questions. Why forgiveness of sins? Why do we need that? Secondly, why is there a need of forgiveness? Why forgiveness of sin? What is the need, our need of the forgiveness of sins? Now, these two questions all take from both divine standpoint. They answer from the standpoint of God and from the standpoint of man. Why is forgiveness? Where it comes from? We need, the question is answered with two different ones, divine standard and human standpoint. Why does God forgive sins? Why does God do that? Why does mankind need forgiveness? This refers to our lives. So why does God forgive sins? Why does mankind need forgiveness of sins? Why is there a need for forgiveness from God? And why is there a need of forgiveness from mankind? Why are these there? The need for forgiveness is both a need from God and a need from mankind. Now, you have to think about that. Some people may say, no, not of God. But think about this now. The need for forgiveness is both a need from God and a need for mankind. Both God and man are in need of forgiveness. Even God. Ask these questions. Think dearly, closely about them. Why should God need to remove our sins? Why would God need that? Maybe you think about it, but I've never thought of that maybe. Why would God remove our sins for us? Why should God need to remove our sins? Why would God remove our sins for us? The answer to these questions is the same on both sides of the question. It's the same side for God and for mankind. And what this answer is? The perfect righteousness of God. What I'm saying here is that for God to commit to take care of our sins is a demand of His perfect righteousness. For our need to having sins taken care of is His perfect righteousness. God must remove sins because God is perfect righteousness. Mankind is unrighteous and God is perfect righteousness. Now, through our study today, I'm going to read various verses of Bible that are very important to this study. So we're going to start here at Psalm 99:9. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God." So we start off with understanding who and what God is. Isaiah 5:16. "But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Psalm 22:3. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthralled upon the praises of Israel. Psalm 145:8-17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Cannot have a relationship with him, with sins, people. And then Luke 1:149. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. There could be no fellowship with God or by God as long as sins were between us and God. Now, Henry M. Morris. Now, if you've done any reading, you've come across Henry Morris, especially on Genesis. Henry Morris clearly says, quote, the conflict between God's love and his wrath lie only in his holiness. Let me repeat that now. The conflict between God's love and his wrath lie whole only in his holiness. God is love. God is wrath. Because God is holy. God is love. God is wrath. Because God is holy. So people, God is holy before us, and because he is holy, we must have our sins washed away, and we must be holy before him. That's what we're going to have. Mankind living before a holy God causes man to know that he is a sinner. We can know that. Now, a lot of people don't pay any attention to it, but if you have any play to it, you understand you're a sinner. In fact, there are many different words for sin throughout the text of the Old Testament and the New Testament. These words declare how separate God and sinful man really are. They're separate. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you. I acknowledge my sin to you, God, and I did not hide my guilt. I said, I will confess my wrongdoings to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Psalm 51, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Note the words in just two verses. Two words. Two verses. Sin, guilt, wrongdoing. The depth of adversity between God and man is clearly stated in his word. The perfect righteousness of God is so clear between God and man. Psalm 98, you have placed our iniquities before you. You, God, have placed our mankind iniquities before you, God. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. The concept of secret sins means that the sins of man overwhelm him to the point he does not know the sins of mankind, either his own sins are the sins of others and humanity. To the point, he doesn't know it, to the point that man cannot even handle his own sins. Therefore, cannot be any fellowship between man and God. There is nothing man can do about his iniquities. Therefore, he must proclaim his thanksgiving that God removes the sins of his in his life. Psalm 103, verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Take a look at it now. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Here forgiveness is declared in as his pardons. Iniquities and diseases are just more of the words that are given for sin. As we learn more and more about our sins and devastations, we come before him in constant thanks for all that he does for us. Now, the next two verses reveals why God must forgive us of our sins. Why God must do this. Isaiah 43:24. You have not brought me sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your satisfactions, of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. All right, what we're doing here is we're looking at the why God must forgive us of our sins. Look at the middle of the end of verse 24, 43:24. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have reared me with your iniquities. These have to be taken care of before God can have any relationship with us in life. Note again why we started all this study, why God must forgive us of our sins. He is burdened and weary from us with our sins and iniquities. That's how God is. Now, I just think, kind of wonder why God just doesn't say, I'm just letting everybody go, start over. But he loves the human race. He loves the Israelites. So this is what he does. Now, one of the most frightening verses about the burden of our sins is found in Hosea 5:4. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God. Their needs will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry, all infidelity, is within them, and they do not know the Lord. From this we can see the condition of multitudes around the world. Many people do not even know the Lord. So, God, His Spirit, His Son, decided to solve the sin problem by providing mankind with forgiveness of sins, redemption through His blood, so there would be forgiveness of His sins. Now, question. Why would God remove sins between mankind and God? Why would God remove the sins? The answer begins with the simple answer. The answer begins with the issue of forgiveness of sins. There are two parts to why God's forgiveness forgives us of our sins. There are two parts. Why God forgives us of our sins. If you want to learn about why forgiveness, you start with clear understanding of God. First, because God is perfect righteousness. Two parts of the gospel. First, negative. Other one, positive. The negative part of the gospel is removal of sins. That's negative. The positive part of the gospel made man in perfect righteousness. So we have two parts of the gospel, removing of sin and taking care of the righteousness of God. These are the two problems that need to be taken care of. Two parts. We can have no relationship with God because God is absolutely holy and we're sinners. There can be no relationship between us, sinful beings, and the perfect essence of God. Secondly, because God is perfect righteousness and we are unrighteousness, there would be no relationship between God and man unless God removes sin and brings forgiveness. So, there are two things that have to be taken care of before we can have a relationship with God. When I have a relationship with God, two things have to be taken care of. And by the way, there is no way that we, mankind, can take care of either of these two problems between mankind and God. There is no way that man can remove our sins. And there is absolutely no way we can make ourselves perfect righteous. To have fellowship with a perfect righteous God. Two things have to take care of. Sins, perfect righteousness. You want a relationship with God? Sins have to be removed, and you have to be perfectly righteous. And you can't be perfectly righteous, and you can't take care of your sins. God takes care of both basic problems. First, He removes all sins by the work of His Son on the cross. So, removal of the sins. That's the first thing we need to take care of. And they are taken care of by the work of Christ on the cross. And then, God must give us perfect righteousness, which He does the moment we simply believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So every member of the human race has two problems. God has two problems. One, our sins. Two, His perfect righteousness. We cannot get rid of our sins. We cannot make ourselves righteous. God has decided to do both of these. God takes care of our sins by the work of His Son on the cross. And God takes care of our perfect righteousness when we believe in Christ as Savior. He imparts us with perfect righteousness to be in fellowship with Him. Now, this is the greatest of Paul, and we must pause and read, take a look at Paul. Romans chapter 3. if we had time, we'd just study this and study this, but we'll just read through it. Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in God's merciful restraint, He left the sins previously committed not unfinished. Now, what we're dealing with is the old, take the very beginning of Scripture up into the cross. All those sins were there, but God didn't take care of them. He saved them all for when Jesus Christ came. And then all the sins from that point on, and all those after that, going on right now, throughout all human history, taken care of by the cross of Jesus Christ. For the demonstration, that is, of His righteousness as the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier as the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, there's just so much in this that we don't have time to take a look at it. But let's just read through quickly. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, between being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. That's what I'm trying to tell you, people. There's nothing we can do about this. The only answer is His work. And if we will respond to it by faith, He can accomplish these things. For all have sinned. All members of the human race have sinned and fall short, lack of the glory of God. Nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in God's merciful restraint, He let the sins previously committed go unpunished. They weren't punished. From Adam and Eve to Christ. And then verse 26, all the demonstrations, that is, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be justifier and the one who has faith in Jesus. That's what we're part of doing. Now, so, be sure we understand that God cannot violate His righteousness. I want to repeat that, because to me that is very important. God cannot violate His righteousness. cannot do it. He cannot just violate his righteousness and save man. Cannot say, well, I'm just going to let him be saved. No, can't do that. God cannot violate his righteousness to provide fellowship with mankind. He can't do it. Therefore, God the Son provides propitiation in his blood, or provides redemption through his blood for everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior. Now, next week, we're going to go back more through this stand, this position dealing with forgiveness of sins. And we're going to have to deal with who is forgiven of sins. Is everyone forgiven of sins? I'm going to show you right now, they're not. But we're going to have to see all of these things in their proper place before God. Now, so God and His Son resolved the problem of sins through forgiveness of sins by means of redemption through the blood, so there would be forgiveness of all our sins. Now, we must note forgiveness in the Old Testament. The teaching of forgiveness is taught by a number of metaphors in both Hebrew and Greek. Now, metaphor, figure of speech that is used to make a comparison that are alike but also have things in common, like have the common courtesy or the common likeness of weeping away, wiping away, to teach forgiveness. So we have to take a look at some of these metaphors. There are four Hebrew words to metaphors to teach forgiveness. One, covering. Two, sending away. Three, removing. Four, wiping away. So, covering, sending away, removing, wiping away. Now, first is meaning to cover, to forgive. This word, to expiate, to put an end, or to reconcile, to be friends with God again. So let's look at Exodus 29:20-36. Each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement. Cover, cancel sins. And you shall purify the altar which when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it. Now let me repeat that. Each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement, and you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it. Now, the study of the Old Testament, Leviticus, Exodus, is so deep and difficult for a lot of people. But I'm going to pick out some of the things that we need to grab hold of. Next, for an example, Exodus 30, verse 10. However, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns, on the sacrifice, once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year throughout your generations, it is most holy to the Lord. Okay. Second one. The first one, meaning to cover. Now the second one, to move away, to carry, to take away, to send away, to remove. These are the ones that we're dealing with here. The lifting up of the sinner and carry away all, or carry away the sins and make a place to be reconciled, to restore friendship with God. Now, this means, are you hoping to understand where we are? We're in the second area. The second one is to move away, to carry. The first one, to carry, to forgive. Now we're moving away to carry. All right? This will be seen in Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. So many verses in the Bible are so important in this whole study. This is where I had to spend all my time. And then reading here, picking there, doing here. All right, Genesis 50, 17. This is what you shall say to Joseph. Please forgive, take away, I beg you, the offense of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive, take away, the offense of the servants of the Lord, of the God of your fathers. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Now let's go to the third one. Third one, meaning to forgive, to pardon, to spare, to send away, to be forgiven. All these have to be dealt with the Hebrew, the Greek, and sometimes some of the words will be in both of them, be in all of them. So you have to be careful picking these out when you make them central. Now, this is the most common of the Hebrew, this third one. Now, what is so rich in the Hebrew is here, we have two different Hebrew words in this same verse of the study on forgiveness. First, here is Leviticus 4:20. We have two different words in the same verse. Two different words, same verse. Okay. Leviticus 4:20. He shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offerings. He shall do the same with you. Now here it is. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. They will be pardoned. So they got the two words, atonement and forgiven. The first word, atonement, is followed with the word forgiveness. First, meaning to cover, recover, forgiveness, to expiate, to reconcile, words with the understanding of remission of sin. The second word of these two words means to forgive, to pardon, to spare, to be forgiven. This verb is always speaking toward of God, not of man. what is being said is that the first simple atonement on the, or the covering over our sins, so that now God will forgive mankind. This is shown in Leviticus 4:30 to 4:26. Thus, the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin, and he will forgive, he will pardon. Now, simple atonement are covering of sins, so they will be forgiven by God. That's what we want to have done. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 34. Then here in heaven, and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. Psalm 486. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Not everyone will call upon him. Now we come to the fourth one. The fourth one, to wipe away, to just wipe away. We'll be studying this in detail next, but it means to just wipe away. I want you to get this down next week, but two things happen. All people are not forgiven. All people have their sins taken away, removed. All sins. But not everyone has their sins forgiven. That's the great issue. And that's what God will do. Psalm 51:1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According this time, what is being said is for God to blot out or wipe out sins, transgressions. In this is man making a clear decision to violate against God. And he wants to clear it, get it out. Psalm 43:25. I am the one who wipes, blotted out your transgressions for my own sake. That's better be important. Why does God do it? Two reasons. One, for his own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Psalm 44:22. I have wiped out, blotted out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Fifth cover, Nehemiah 4:5. Do not forgive their iniquities, and do not let their sin be wiped out, blotted out before you, for they have demoralized or abandoned against the builder. Okay. This one's tough. Do not forgive their guilt. Do not take their sins away, be wiped away. How is that possible? On one verse he says he does it everybody's. Now he's saying that this doesn't. That's what I want you to see next week. that all sins will be taken care of on the cross, but not all sins will be forgiven. Okay? Now, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See the two things? Nehemiah 4:5, do not forgive their iniquity. Do not let their sin be wiped. Psalm 32:1, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There are two things going on here. Sixth, removal forever. Psalm 134, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Now we'll study that later too. In the study of the Old Testament, three primary metaphors are used to carry the idea of forgiveness. Three primary metaphors are used to teach about forgiveness. First, the idea of forgiveness conveys the idea of atonement is carried through. Second, is carried the idea to lift or carry, with the primary idea is carrying sins away from or off the sinner. And the third one is the basic idea, forgiveness. So I have three basic words you want to get in your mind. The first, the idea of forgiveness conveys the idea of atonement. It's carried through. Two, carried the idea of to lift or carry, with the primary idea as carrying sin away from or off the sinner. And then the third is the basic idea of forgiveness. Throughout study of the Old Testament is the idea of punishment, carried by sins. There is punishment from God. Okay? There is punishment from God because of the presence of sins. And grace is taught in the pardon of the punishment and the punishment of sins. These ideas are strongly presented throughout the Old Testament, especially the study of sacrifice, where the teaching of grace from God is primarily in the study of punishment. Another study of the Old Testament is the study of atonement and how God fulfills the punishment from sins by offering atonement. It demands that we study the removal of punishment under forgiveness. He's got to do it. Now, I'll just tell you, why is he going to do it? The work of Christ on the cross. Okay, we have to carefully pay attention to the grace of God in the way that the coming of Jesus Christ will be the suffering of the punishment to remove the punishment of sins in the forgiving of Jesus Christ. The people returned to God, and they became his people, and they became their God, seen in his spiritual death. Ezekiel, let's look at Ezekiel 14, begin at verse 10. And they will bear the punishment for their wrongdoings as the wrongdoing of the inquirer is. So the wrongdoing of the prophet will be, in order that the house of Israel may be no longer strayed from me, and no longer defile themselves with all their offenses. So they will be my people, and I shall be their God, declares the Lord. Nehemiah 9:17. They refused to listen. Sinners in Israel, they refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds, gods, which you performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious, and compassionate. You're a God who is forgiveness, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. And you did not abandon them. Now, just always remember, slow to anger. He will become angry. That will happen. Okay. Things we learn about God all through the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament are declared by Daniel, chapter 9, verse 9. This is what we learn all the way through the Bible about God. To the Lord, our God, belong compassion and forgiveness because we have rebelled against Him. That's what we learn about God. Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in faithfulness and truth. Who keeps faithfulness for thousands? Who forgives wrongdoings, violation of his law and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, inflicting the punishment of the father on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Here in the Old Testament, we learn about God that in the very essence of God is the forgiveness founded in His grace. Two reasons why forgiveness, one with God and the second with mankind. God has to satisfy His holiness and satisfy His sins. That's what Christ did on the cross, took care of the sins, and then imputes righteousness to those who believe. Any questions? Okay, this is where we'll be next Sunday to continue in the same momentum. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are compassionate, forgiving. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that You are forgiven of us in our own lives. We are so thankful. And Heavenly Father, it is our person to take advantage. Take advantage of Your grace. Take advantage of what You give us, that we, Heavenly Father, can fulfill our purpose while we're here on earth. Thank You so much for our study. We praise You in Christ's name. And Father, we just pray for, in our own assembly, for Chris Day, his dad, his mother, family, family there, family here. Just give them strength, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.